on the ground, oh, you. But I don't do this shit for nothing. No, not at all. Not at all. You. But my money red, money red. That you do.
Degrees, new direction. That's what it is right now. Good morning, podcast audience. It's Tuesday. It's 8 o'clock. It's time for the Tuesday morning podcast. I tried to change the beat up a little bit. Demographics definitely point in favor of the fact we have a lot more younger employees or mail handlers than we have older. So every once in a while, I want to dip into my little hip-hop bag and throw a tune or two their way, because I need everybody to be involved in this 180-degree movement. Local 304 in Columbus, Ohio, in particular. This morning's podcast, we're going to talk about probably one of the smallest articles in your contract. Article 5. Prohibition of unilateral actions. Again, very small article. In fact, it just is a paragraph. And it reads as follows. Now, what I'm going to do, because the article is so small, I'm going to read from the contract in the Kim, and let's have a quick study session. Article 5. Prohibition of unilateral actions. The employer would not take any action affecting wages, hours, and other terms and conditions of employment as defined in Section 8D of the National Labor Relations Act, which violates the terms of this agreement or are otherwise inconsistent with its obligations under law. And again, in bold writing in our national agreement, the preceding Article 5 shall apply to MHAs as well. Now, you might say, well, what does that mean when we talk about prohibition of unilateral action? Well, again, I'm going to put this in my version. And again, there may be other versions, but this is a correct version. Here we go, Article 5. Article 5. When you come to work for the post office, it is expected and it is already negotiated at national levels who you work for. So when you come to work expecting to work for supervisors and you end up working for a clerk, see, that's a violation of Article 5. In fact, if you want a real live example of what we're talking about this morning, all you have to do is come on tour 2, and I'm pretty sure tour 3, flat operation. They still, and when I say still, I'm talking almost a year, maybe two, do not consistently sign EASs to that area because they allow lead clerks to be in charge. That is what you call an Article 5 violation. And I'm going to get into the Kim on Article 5 in 1 second, but I just want to keep it real world for those employees in Columbus. Again, every day you go to work, if you work in the flat unit, don't forget about the expediters, moving mail handlers, and the dock, brother. I do this for you. I'm sorry, I got lost in the beat. Long nights of studying, always trying to be prepared. See, that's what happens when I try to hang out with the younger folk.
For my local 304 represent.
Okay, but we back now.
So, local like 304, I got you.
Stay with me, folks. I'm having a pretty good morning.
I do it for you.
The membership, that's what it's all about. Yo, DJ, cut that beat. Okay. Now, before I was so R.I.P. Brother Nip coolly interrupted, I was talking about Article 5, and I was explaining to mail handlers that if you come to work in a post office, you expect to work for supervision. You don't expect to work for a clerk. And that's where, when the post office puts that lead clerk in charge of you, puts that expediter in charge of you, that is what is known as an Article 5 violation. Now, I'm going to read to you from the KIM on Article 5, and I'm reading Article 5 out of our KIM. The employer will not take any action affecting wages, hours, or other terms and conditions of employment as defined in Section 8D of the National Labor Relations Act, which violates the terms of this agreement or are otherwise inconsistent with his obligation under law. Again, preceding article applies to MHAs. Article 5, and again, I'm reading from the KIM. Article 5 prohibits management taking any unilateral action inconsistent with the terms of the existing agreement or with his obligation under law. Section 8D of the National Labor Relations Act prohibits an employer from making unilateral changes in wages, hours, or working conditions during the term of a collective bargaining agreement. Some examples of the prohibited act include giving employees cash awards that were not negotiated, implementing proactive discipline programs without negotiating them with the union. Now, I got a question coming right out of the KIM. What is an example of action not prohibited under Article 5? And the answer, again, I'm reading directly from your KIM, changes in mail distribution systems that could potentially result in excessing. The arbitrator found that under the provisions of Article 3 and Article 12, management could proceed without further collective bargaining. Now, let's continue. Can management change breaks? Issues involving breaks are determined by local policy. Whether management altered a past practice can only be determined by full development of the specific fact circumstances involved. And just real quick, side note, when we talk past practice, you and I both know that in the Postal Service, we do a lot of things that are wrong, but we've done them so long that we convince ourselves that they may be right. Well, again, if we run up on a past practice, management is instructed, and there is a legitimate way to dissolve a past practice. First, you have to acknowledge the practice. You let the employees know, okay, I understand that I've been allowing you to come in whenever you want, for however you want. I understand it's wrong. I understand we were doing it, but I want you to understand that effective 10 days out, that practice will no longer be honored. So now what you do, that is the proper way to dissolve a past practice when you have situations in post offices where you have allowed employees to go far left for so long. If you want to straighten it out and you want to do it in a way that's going to build teams instead of tear them apart, then you acknowledge the past practice, you dissolve it, and then you move forward. Now you give the employees a quick period of time to adjust. I didn't mean to get off on a past practice tangent, but I figured you would want to know that. In 2014, in his award concerning the lead clerk position, National Arbitrator Siam Das wrote, I'm sorry if I mispronounce his name. In sum, the National Postal Mail Handlers Union has established that the Postal Service unilaterally changed the terms and condition of employment for mail handlers when it assigned lead clerks positions, which it had negotiated with the APW to provide oversight, direction, and support to mail handler work, in that the absence of a supervisor previously had been performed by the mail handler group leader. The Postal Service is ordered to restore the status quo and to bargain with the mail handlers over these matters. And what I just said to you is, and again, there's additional arbitration decisions that rule, lead clerks have no business in mail handler business. And again, that's not a bad thing. That's a contractual thing. And again, sometimes I know those lines get blurred because the league clerk is probably way more hospitable than the actual EAS, but that's a contract violation. And to the members in Columbus, again, I initiated a labor charge, again, trying to get compensation after I was denied access to the grievance procedure. And I want you to know, your local president informed the labor board to dismiss my charges because I'm not certified to represent any mail handlers in Local 304. And I want to say that was done out of pure jealousy, and that hurt the craft. Now, here you have a situation where, again, I am still the president. It is not a grievance, which don't violate my suspension, but out of pure jealousy or pure, there is no way under God's green earth, on God's green earth, that the local presidents want to see me do anything positive for the craft. So rather than allow me to negotiate and probably go take it to court and get a large cash settlement for the mail handlers working in the flat unit on tour 2 and tour 3, he had the labor board throw the charge out and say I was not authorized to represent. And let me tell you something, that was not a true statement. The suspension you had me under, local president, had nothing to do with labor charges. It had nothing to do with me representing anybody other than me representing in the grievance procedure. So because of your overzealousness, you denied the mail handlers in Columbus, Ohio, thousands of dollars in compensation. And once again, I'm not saying it was open and shut case. I mean, the facts were there, but that don't always determine if you're going to win or not. But you denied the opportunity. And let me tell you something, mail handlers, that opportunity that he snatched away from you didn't cost him anything. This was something I was doing, without any union resources. This is something me and the team of people who work with me were putting together for you, just to show that violation exists. And if you stop me, local president, from exercising this Article 5 grievance through the grievance procedure, then again, my dedication to serve the craft, I found another way, because that was going to be a large compensation. And if anybody who hears this podcast, before you start to jump to Ken Hodges making up stories again, talk to some of the mail handlers in Columbus. They were aware that the charge was filed and the charge was dismissed by the local president. And for those of you who look at this as me attempting to slam the local president, I assure you that's not what this is. This is just me making you aware. When these actions take place and I can show the membership the kind of leadership that you are currently getting, I'm not really slamming him. I'm just saying what happened. Hey, folks, this is Ken Hodge with your Tuesday morning podcast. Mail handlers in Columbus, Ohio. Again, maybe now that I'm not in office, local president will allow you to file that Article 5 for not having a supervisor in the area and being under the direction of the league clerk. And let me just close out with this. This is how anti some mail handlers are against actually what's right. When they tell you that a league clerk in the flat unit is not supervising the area or guiding the area, I don't use the word supervising. If there is no supervisor present, how does the group leader get their assignment? You know, so again, and we can have that conversation about what a group leader does and doesn't do, but a group leader does nothing in absence of the supervisor. Once the group leader has the plan of operation, then they act as an intercessor for the supervisor. But the group leader is not a position that's designed to be used in lieu of the supervisor. And just one more tidbit of information. If the lead clerk is giving your group leader coordinating instructions on what mail they want moved in a priority order, that's the same thing as a lead clerk running the union. running the unit. I'm sorry. Hey, that's my podcast for today. I want to try to always keep it under 15 minutes. Check me out at noon, where we'll hear episode 2 of TS as the local turns. Have a great day, everyone.